The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess that you are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him for. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is the word of God for the people of God. Amen. Please be seated.
All right. Are you ready?
Oh, yeah.
Even an hour early, you ready to go?
Oh, yeah.
All right. I'm ready to go. But I'm preaching the message I prepared today. Those of you here last week know that it's almost kind of disappointing when you spend hours and hours getting a message ready, and then you stand up at the front and you go, uh-oh. I'm going in a totally different direction, and trust that it's the direction of God. But I think today, I feel like we're good. Good to go. Hey, one thing I want to say just more about that Freedom Forum that Evan was very excited about and should be. I think one of the things that, unfortunately, I'm going to be out of town that day, but, you know, we've talked a lot here about human trafficking and the realities of human slavery that still exist in our world today. I just heard this. I can't verify this, but I just heard that Portland actually has the second highest number of people involved in the sex trafficking industry in our country. So it's a real issue, one that's very close to home. But what I'm excited about this time around is that we've talked about it a lot, but what I was told was at this forum, you're going to get practical opportunity, not like right on the spot, but you're going to be shown practical ways that you can actually get involved or make a difference, on our level, you know, because it seems so overwhelming, doesn't it? And it really takes some pretty radical people to do some radical stuff to get them out and off of the and out of that system. But anyway, so I just encourage you to consider going. He didn't mention there is a $15 cost. It covers your lunch while you're there, which is for a day-long conference. It's like nothing. It might as well be free, right? All right. So today, for those of you who may not know, it is not only the beginning of daylight savings time, which the sooner they stop doing that to us, the better. But anyway, today's not only the first day of daylight savings time, it is the first Sunday of Lent. Yeah, so one hand clap. So the first Sunday of Lent, Lent is an ancient practice of the church that has been utilized as a season of preparation for the remembrance of Jesus' death and resurrection, the celebration of his resurrection, or we call it Good Friday, and I prefer Resurrection Sunday, but it's commonly known as Easter Sunday. These are powerful moments of remembrance, powerful moments of remembering all that God has done through us, for us through Jesus Christ. But Lent is a season that reflects the 40-day wilderness experience of Jesus, when Jesus went out into the wilderness and was really, in a sense, I believe, preparing himself for the ministry that God had called him to. Lent is actually longer than 40 days, and if you wonder why there's a difference, it's because the 6 Sundays in Lent don't count. So if you were one of those people, like in our family, the big thing is, what are you doing for Lent? You know, different ones, well, I'm not going to drink, have any dairy, and I'm not going to have any sugar. And then they say, what are you doing, Dad, for Lent? I'm like, I'm not doing nothing. Look at all you guys. No, I'm actually doing something too. But it's often a time of, it's just an expression of humbling, of fasting. But the 6 Sundays are not considered a part of Lent. Why do you think they're not? Anybody know? It's the day we celebrate the resurrection. We celebrate the resurrection every Sunday. So just historically speaking, the 40 days of Lent are, you know, starting on Ash Wednesday and then running just the weekdays or other than Sunday. Now, there are those who are highly suspicious of Lent as a spiritual practice and choose not to have anything to do with it. And so I like what the Reverend John Ewing Roberts, who is a Baptist preacher, kind of the epitome of Protestantism, right? He writes the following about Lent. He says, "When I was a boy, I was told, Baptists don't do Lent. No one knew why. I suspect that it was an anti-Catholic thing. It was the old argument, whatever they do, we don't. A curiously convoluted, twisted, and unhealthy way to decide on religious practices. Whatever the reason for not doing Lent, I think it's a great loss for any Christian not to prepare for Good Friday and Easter. Every spring, the baseball players, Mr. New York Yankee with his cap on today, every spring, the baseball players prepare for the season with spring training. And every spring, ordinary people like you and me prepare for summer by doing spring cleaning." That's obviously not many of you do that. So anyway, spring cleaning. "So why shouldn't Christians prepare for the most important events in Jesus' ministry? What he did for us on Good Friday and Easter Sunday, what he did for us on Golgotha's cross and at the empty tomb. So if it helps you, don't call it Lent. Call it Christian spring training. Christian spring cleaning in preparation for this incredible celebration that we're going to have in about 6 weeks, the Resurrection Sunday of Jesus, when we celebrate his death and his resurrection. So this year, we are a church who loves Christian spring training, and we're going to go on a Lenten journey together. And our focus is going to be on New Testament passages that speak about our salvation. We titled the series, Living Fully Saved, A Lenten Journey. What does it mean to live fully saved? I mean, we're either saved or not saved, right? Well, in one sense, I'd have to answer with a yes. I think you're either saved or you're not saved. At some point, we respond to God's call to repent of our selfish ways, which is our sin. We put our trust in the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, and we ask God to forgive us our sins, and by faith, we know that we are saved, right? But is that all there is to salvation? Now, I'm not going to divert too far, but I think this is actually a huge problem, especially in what I would call Western Christianity. Christianity, what's left of it in Europe and here in the United States, Canada. We kind of just boiled salvation down to say a prayer, take your ticket, and wait to go to heaven. So you get your ticket, put it in your pocket or in safety deposit box somewhere, so that when you die, you can pull it out and say, here's my ticket, I'm coming on in, right? Well, I think that has been hugely detrimental both to the cause of Christ and to the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the advancement of the kingdom of God in our world, especially here in the West. I think salvation is so much more than just getting my ticket to heaven, like it's some kind of business transaction, and then when I die, I'll go. You see, salvation is not just something that we're saved. We're not just saved from something. We're saved to some things, right? So we're not just saved from, as great as it is, we're not just saved from hell and from our sin and all these kinds of things, but we are saved into the kingdom of God, and we're supposed to be participating in all the things that God has for us now. This is why Paul encourages us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Well, why do you have to do anything with your salvation if you're just already saved, right? Because there's something about being saved that is more than just the ticket to heaven. I'm just going to say it again. I think most of evangelical Christianity has a severely limited view and understanding of salvation. I also believe that this is why, again, I'm just going to say it again. I think this is why we are largely ineffective in reaching others with the good news of Jesus and significantly impacting the world around us. You know, I have to confess, and this is, I'm not talking about, I have no one in mind here when I'm saying this, but I know people who prayed a prayer, you know, as a kid or as a teenager, and then really lived their entire lives in ways that did not reflect the reality of their relationship to Jesus at all. But if you asked them, they would say, oh no, I believe. I believe in Jesus. And you can see even the life choices that were made and the problems that it brought to them. But they would still say, but I believe. I believe in Jesus. I'm gonna go to heaven when I die. And I'm not the judge. They may. I hope they do. I hope everybody. I want everybody to go to heaven or be with God for all of eternity, right? But I just think, man, you know, it goes back to kind of what I shared last week. They confess heaven, but they've lived a life of hell. It just has not, they've just not worked out that salvation. They've done nothing with the saving grace of God that was extended to them. I'm convinced that Jesus has more for us. I'm convinced, and I desire to live as one fully saved, so to speak, to be striving to really experience the abundant life that God has for us. So while this series might touch on what we are being saved from, we really are talking more about what we're being, about what it means to live fully saved. What are we being saved to? Now, quite frankly, also, I could spend hours talking about salvation. It's both simple and complex all at the same time. Today, we're going to learn about some of the simplicity of it. But even the simplicity of it has radical ramifications for us in our lives if we take it seriously and look at what God is saying to us. So let's just lean into the passage that's set before us, and I'll just trust that God is going to speak to us today. There's so much I want to say, but I'm going to try to stay on task. So let's look at that. Evan just read it a few moments ago. Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 10. It says this: the word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. This is one of the more foundational passages of the New Testament as it relates to our salvation. Sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? What does it say you need to be? What do you need to do to be saved according to this passage? Two things, basically. What's the first one? I think the first one is confess with your mouth, right? Confess with your mouth what? Come on. I know it's 9:47, not 10:47, but confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. It's number one. And what? Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Sounds simple enough. It's easy. Paul even says it here. It's not that far away. It's not like some incredible mystery that no one can know or understand. In fact, he says, the word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we're proclaiming. The phrase, it is in your mouth and in your heart, was commonly understood to mean that the message is not difficult to understand. That's what it means. He says, Paul's trying to say, the message is not that complicated. In fact, he goes, if you look just before it, he says, he made it clear. He says, for Moses writes, the passage just before this that we just read, it says, for Moses writes that the law's way of making a person right with God requires obedience to all of its commands. That's actually pretty complex. You think of all the laws that there are to follow and the difficulty we have in following them. So Paul says, yeah, this is what, you know, when Moses said, this is what God requires, obedience to all of its commands. By the way, we still are to be obedient to the commands, but what's the primary command we're to be obedient to? Just as a little side note. To love. Yeah, to love, right? If you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you love your neighbors yourself, you know what you're going to do? You're going to obey all the commands. Okay? All right. So, he says, but faith's way of getting right with God says, don't say in your heart, who will go up to heaven to bring Christ down to earth, which is impossible, right? Right? We're not, I don't know about you, but I haven't been up, you know, now I'm going against what I said. I haven't been to heaven lately and brought Christ down. And don't say, who will go down to the place of the dead to bring Christ back to life again? In fact, it says, the message is very close at hand. It is on your lips and in your heart. And that message is the very message about faith that we preach. And essentially what I believe Paul is saying here is that don't make it more complicated than it is. One of the things that has frustrated me over the years as a pastor is when people are all, you know, it's like they'll come to me and they'll say stuff like, you know, I was off at this thing and I heard some deep truth, Pastor. Like, it was deep truth. I'm like, really? You know, what was that? And they'll say something and I'm just like, it's not deep truth. That's just old-fashioned, good old heresy. That's been going around for thousands of years. It's like we want more than what God simply gives us. It's like we want more than Jesus. It's like Jesus is not enough. So many times I find that people Pastor, really, you should teach deep truth. Now, I'm giving you the deepest truth you can have. Amen. You know what the deepest truth is? The deepest truth is found in Jesus Christ, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It just doesn't get any deeper than that. Now, you could tap the well of Jesus and go deep in your relationship to God through Jesus Christ. But you don't need more than Jesus. You don't need some special secret revelation. You don't need some secret interpretation. I had a guy stand up and scream at me in a Starbucks because I would not agree with him that the Bible was one large code that was trying to tell us that marijuana essential oils were the way for healing. That I was a false prophet because I was not interpreting the Bible correctly and found the secret codes that were really trying to show us the way that would provide healing for all humanity, and that all we needed was to take CBD and, you know, I don't know, inject into our lips, you know, THC or I don't know what. He literally, I was like, man, brother, you know, and I love you, man, but I just can't, we just need Jesus. And he stood up, not the first person that's ever yelled at me in a public place, but he stood up in the Starbucks, and began to scream at me. And I was just like, this conversation's over. I don't let people just yell and scream at me. And therefore, have a good day and take care. Well, the point is, just give me Jesus. Just give me Jesus. Paul is so clear. Scripture is so clear. You want to live fully saved. You want to live into and experience. You want to experience healing? Just give me Jesus. You want to experience the abundant life? You don't need to look for it in all the dark places that this world tries to offer to you. You don't need to become part of some secret society or join some Bible study that I don't know, that this, I hear so much crazy stuff and people coming to me and I see things that are expressed and I'm like, you're looking for something that you've already found or you should have already found. So many want some greater revelation, some secret knowledge, but Paul makes it clear. We don't need to ascend to heaven to obtain righteousness or be forgiven, nor do we need to descend to the grave to find what we also desperately need. The message is right here before us in the person of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The message is clear, but for many, the message of salvation is actually not near. Do you want to know why? Because it's often not being proclaimed. We are the ones who are to bring the message of God, this message of salvation, this simple message to the people. We are the ones to bring it both with our words and our actions. Because just after this passage, so I read you some verses before, now I'm going to read you some verses after here in Romans chapter 10. Paul goes on to say this, how can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Living fully saved. Living fully saved is not just saying, thank you for my ticket, I'll check back in with you when I die. Part of it is to live out this message. In fact, if you look at the wording again in the passage that we're primarily focused on, it says what? It says to confess with your mouth and to believe in your heart, right? And he says, those two things combined together, you shall be saved. So the confessing with your mouth is kind of an action, right? It's an action thing. I'm doing something. I'm saying something. And then I believe in my heart. The combination of the heart and the action, they're not. We tend to separate them. I get people that get all bent out of shape. In fact, I was just in another situation with a class I'm teaching. Hopefully I don't get into trouble here. If you're listening to it, talk to me later. But he was bent out of shape because we spent a whole session talking about holiness, which is practice, how you live your life. And he was like, he just wrote this long thing about solo fide, which is faith alone. Well, Bible's clear again, faith without works is what? It's dead. The two go hand in hand. Living fully saved. So first again, it said, let me come back. We confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, which seems simple enough, but what does it really mean for Jesus to be Lord? See, you can confess with your mouth that Jesus is what?
Lord.
Ooh. Sometimes when I'm really feeling it, this is like we were in this situation. I get myself into trouble sometimes. I did just a couple weeks ago too about something else. But anyway, this person kept saying, Lord, 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 Lord. But then they were cursing and doing all kinds of stuff. And I was just like a total like disconnect. And I actually said, I was like, you know what? I just said, I really would have, I can't remember exactly what I said, but I was like, if you're going to say Lord, or call Jesus the Lord, you probably should start acting like that. Like, don't just call him Jesus or something or whatever, but you keep saying Lord. Like, we should not say Lord. We should not confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord lightly. Because when we say Jesus is Lord, when we talk about the Lord or the Lord Jesus, we are talking about someone who we have completely and totally given ourselves over to. If you have not really bowed the knee and surrendered your heart and your life and the entirety of your being to God, I encourage you, don't call Him Lord. But if you don't call Him Lord, now we have another problem. Because you need to confess that Jesus is Lord. That's what it means. It's more than just a ticket to heaven. And Lord, believe it or not, implies a relationship. You have a relationship to Lord, to the Lord. The entirety of our being. Since I'm feeling a little bit today, this is another, I'll share another time I got into trouble. Someone asked me, no, maybe I asked them. I can't remember how it went. But it had to do with how many kids were they going to have. And I think the response was, well, we're only having two. And because I don't know always when to keep my mouth shut, I said, is that what God has told you? Or is that what you want? It didn't go that way with this person. They were not happy. We call Jesus Lord, but is He really? And not just Lord of the religious things, but Lord of all things. Because I do have news for you, all of you that are so glad that you came to church today, that you can bend the knee now, willingly, with an open heart, and receive and enter into the fullness of your salvation, acknowledging Jesus as Lord, finding the joy and the incredible things that God does in our lives when we yield to God and give ourselves to Him. You can experience all of that now. You can experience, you know, we cannot experience the fullness of the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, you know, all the things I talk about all the time, if we are holding on to stuff. If we're holding on to hatred and bitterness, if we're holding on to our idols of pride or lust or consumerism or greed or whatever it is, as we're holding on to those things and Jesus is trying to come into our lives and offers us a fullness to our salvation, and we sit just like Doreen is right now, which is good, because this is not her heart. I could pick on Janelle too, but Doreen's closer. So she's got, let's hold your hands together, and Jesus is standing there offering, oh, she's going to take it because she can't stand it, right? This is her heart, right? She can't even, but so many of us, we're so busy holding on. I'll use Janelle next time. It's not a new, I know that's not new to you, that's not a new, but I just think every once in a while we need a reminder. What does it really mean to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord? Second, we are to believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead. The Amplified Bible, too bad Timothy's not here today. Timothy Jackson loves the Amplified Bible, man. The guy starts reading out of Scripture, and I'm like, oh, God, are we ever going to get through Genesis 1:1? I love the Amplified Bible, too, and Timothy's not here, so I'm going to just pick on him mercilessly. Tell him next time he should show up, right? So, known Timothy a long time. He's a good brother. He does love the Amplified, though. But I like it, too. It says here, the same verse where it says, you know, in your heart, or believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. It says, and in your heart believe, and then it says, adhere to, trust in, and rely on the truth that God raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. Belief is so much more than just kind of like, yeah, I believe. The Bible says that even the devil believes. Even Satan believes in God. Even Satan knows that Jesus rose from the dead. But he doesn't trust in, adhere to, and rely upon that truth. So we can give a mental nod, but are we really trusting in, relying upon, adhering to the truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ? And I'm just telling you that when you start tapping into that, and you start looking in Scripture, even in Romans, about what it talks about the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the application of that in yours and my life, it's powerful. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. You died to sin. How can you live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of you that were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? And if you were baptized into his death, don't you also know that you were baptized into his resurrection? And then it goes on to say, because I won't be able to continue to quote, but it goes on to talk about that resurrection power. That those who've been resurrected have died to sin. It's powerful stuff, man. Are you kind of tracking with me? I know you all might be a little tired, and maybe I need to get to wrapping it up. But the point is this. The message is simple. It's all about Jesus. It's a simple message. It's not far away. You don't have to go look in some secret place to find it. Jesus, God came to us in Jesus, physically to the earth, to this planet, walked, lived, taught. Things were recorded, put down in writing. The Word of God is now given to us. It says the message is simple. It's clear. It's right here. Confess Jesus as Lord. And believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Amen, Pastor. Hallelujah. That sounds good. I'll do that. Okay. Well, you better put on your seatbelt and buckle up because you've got an incredible ride ahead of you. I'll tell you something. It's been a long time now. I'm that old guy that I thought I would never be when I first got saved, right? I'm the guy that's, oh, for 37 years now I've been walking with Jesus. Hallelujah. 37 years ago, I bent the knee. 37 years ago, I kneeled at an altar, cried like a baby, and experienced the salvation of God. And it has been one wild ride. It has been anything but boring. Took me at 22 years old down to a little jungle country in Central America, threw me in the middle of snakes, scorpions, and tarantulas, which I cannot stand, wolf spiders. First night I'm there in a little tent. Huge spider. Anybody knows me, I don't do spiders. First night. That was exciting. It's taking me into with Sarah and Jessica when she was just 2 years old, doing things you just don't normally do. You usually don't smuggle Bibles into communist countries with your two-year-old daughter in tow. We did. It's pretty exciting. It's pretty amazing to have somebody come to your vehicle with all kinds of Bibles and tear the thing almost apart and not see them. Like they're right there. They got mirrors. They're doing all kinds of stuff, looking for propaganda or whatever we're going to bring into the country. I'm just standing there going, dear God, I don't really want to go to jail with my two-year-old daughter in a communist prison. Throwing stuff, suitcases everywhere. Throw it all back in. You're free to go. Thank you very much. Surrendering to Jesus as Lord and taking my 15, soon-to-be 60-year-old daughter to Malawi in Africa. I'll tell you something. I never said this to her. You really just don't take your teenage daughters into the jungles of Malawi. It's just not really what you're supposed to do. It's awesome, wasn't it, honey? I watched her just do incredible things for God there. What does it mean? It doesn't mean the same for you as it meant for me. God's not necessarily, this is another thing, I'm just sharing with you, being a true follower of Jesus, living fully saved, is anything but boring. It's just anything but boring, man. I remember I've had a few people yell at me over the years. Think it has anything to do with me, Juan? You think so? But I remember being at a homeschooling event and sharing with them that I was moving with my two kids at the time, just two. And going to move right into the heart of what was known as, it's still known as that, but Inner Northeast Portland, and we were going to be working with gang members. And thank God for a wife who also has fully bowed the knee, because most mothers cannot live with gunshots occurring on a regular basis outside their home. Most moms cannot live with the fact that a bullet came into the house and lodged in the wall 2 feet above Philip's head. But Sarah has a bended knee. She figures that whatever happens, she's in Christ. I need to wrap up. But I have to say this, because I thought it was awesome that I found, or that I thought about this, so I have to put it in the message, right, Fawn? You see, so many have made some confession of faith, yet their life reflects the words of Paul Anka, Anka, who I didn't realize wrote the words that were made famous by one Frank Sinatra. So we make a confession of faith, but really our lives testify more to this. I planned each charted course, each careful step along the byway, and more, much more than this, I did it my way. Now, I'm sorry to touch on what might be a very beloved song to many of you, but that song is categorically opposed to the kingdom of God. It is categorically opposed, and it breaks my heart, to be honest with you, to get into more trouble when I hear that song played at a memorial service. It's very popular. Because it's just, to me, it's just, and I'm sorry, you guys, but you might as well just stick up your hand and fly the bird. Like two of you know what I'm talking about, right? You know what I mean. To God. I did it my way. This is not what we're talking about. We're talking about living fully saved. We need to do it God's way. Going down to the conclusion, Phil, if there's any point in trying to follow me. Let me just ask you today, have you put your complete trust in Jesus Christ and the message of the gospel that has been proclaimed to you? I don't even want to hear you answer. Because if you just say, oh yeah, I've done that. Really? Because I know there's times when I don't walk in that. I know there's times where I just go off in my own direction and do my own thing. And then I need to repent. Does your life reflect your absolute dependence on the grace of God? Or are you still trying to do everything your way? Are you confessing with your mouth to those around you that Jesus is Lord? And then do your actions line up with that confession? Because one of the most detrimental things that we can do as followers of Jesus is confess openly that Jesus is Lord and then live like the devil. Have you truly ceased to live for the kingdom of this world, or are you still enamored and captured by all that this world has to offer? You know, I think if we're honest, we all struggle with living fully saved. Our hearts and minds are constantly being drawn away from gazing upon Christ. In the words of a song by the group Cademan's Call, they sang this. They said, "This world has nothing for me, and this world has everything. All that I could want, and nothing that I need." It's powerful words. I love the song. We are constantly having influences, spiritual influences, demonic influences, worldly influences, our own struggles that try to take our gaze off of Christ. And if you don't have that struggle, I don't believe you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. This world offers a lot of stuff. There's some handsome young men out there offering everything, but nothing that you need. God will bring you some awesome young men. 20 years from now. Okay, there we go. All right. So let's be honest today. Let's just realign ourselves. This is the whole purpose of Lent, really. Sorry, of Christian spring training. So the whole purpose, really, is to reassess, to reevaluate, to humble ourselves, to take what I encourage you to do this next week, and I'll stop. Take these two phrases. Confessing with my mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believing, which is trusting in, adhering to, and relying upon the truth that God raised him from the dead. And I invite you, in your however you take time with the Lord throughout the week, to just go back to that, those two phrases, and ask God, "God, align me. Align my heart. Let my actions match my confession that Jesus is Lord." I think, looking around, I think almost everyone in this room would say that you're saved. But think about it. I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm talking about being, if I can use the term, fully saved, or living into your salvation might be better. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Lord Jesus, I want to bend the knee now. I don't want to skate through this life confessing one thing but doing another, confessing, Jesus, that you're Lord of my life, but living my life in a way that doesn't honor or reflect that. Jesus, I bend the knee now. I can make my confession today. I don't want to wait until that day comes when everyone will have to admit and confess that you are Lord, whether they want to or not. We just call upon you, Jesus, right now. I just want to encourage you. We don't have communion today, so it's, you know, that's kind of a natural way to kind of come forward and acknowledge who God is in your life. But really, my appeal to you today is a simple one. Be real. Be honest with God. God knows anyway. And as we sing this song, "In Christ Alone, My Hope Is Found," let's sing this song as a confession of faith even today as to who Jesus is in our lives, and that we want to align ourselves more with that.